Please, Job chapter 10. Job chapter 10, and we're down to verse 11. Job 10 and verse 11. This again is Job speaking to God. In chapter 9, he was addressing his friend, Bildad. But now he's making his comments directly to God at this point. Verse 11, he says, "Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee." The recognition that all that he has, all that he is has come from God. I think about the passage in Psalm 139. It says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." But he says, you know every layer of my being. Think about that. God knows all about it. Every passage in the heart, every vein in our bodies, Job's getting into that kind of detail about God. You know all of this about me, both physically and mentally and spiritually, every aspect of me, everything there is to be known, you know about me, God. And you gave me the breath of life, you sustained that life, and none of this that's going on in Job's life makes sense to him. I am this creature, this being that you've made, God. And why have you done this? And he's just pleading for some answers from God. look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." There's just, God's got a different perspective on things that we don't have. And it's higher than ours. Everything about God is higher. Job doesn't get it, but God's saying, "I got it, Job. Don't worry about it." Look at verse 7 here. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he shall have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, obviously, Isaiah was written long after Job had lived and died, but Job understands this truth. And God makes this appeal throughout the Word of God, that if you turn from your wicked ways, my favor and blessing is going to be upon you. And Job says, "Where is it, God? What's going on here?" Look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse 31. "Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy." Now, Romans 9, 10, and 11 is all talking about Israel and how they've been put aside temporarily by God as we, the Gentiles, are being brought in. When God's done with us, when the rapture takes place, God takes us out of here, then his focus and attention goes back to the nation of Israel. So that's the context of this thing here. Verse 32, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." But here's where I want to pick up. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Higher than the heaven is above the earth are God's ways. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever." Amen. Paul says, He's far above us. Our finite minds cannot fully comprehend this God, everything about Him. But as he wraps it up there, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory. And that's what's going on in Job's life, is God's working and using that to glorify Himself. And the things that go on in our lives are for that very same purpose. God wants glory in our lives, to be glorified in our lives, of and through and to. For all things, Him be glory. Look at Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14. Verse 9. Hosea 14 and verse 9. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them? For the ways of the Lord are right. That says it all right there. Everything that God does is right. Job doesn't understand it. And even as we look back on it sometimes, it's difficult to understand. Well, God, why would you let him, your servant, suffer like that? But even though we can't understand it, because his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, they're right. Nothing God does is wrong, is evil. His ways are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Look at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. Daniel 4, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. If you're not familiar with this, what's happened is Nebuchadnezzar exalted himself above God, and God humbled him. I believe it was for 7 years he ate grass like an ox. His fingernails grew, and he became basically an animal for 7 years. And after he's come out of that thing, Nebuchadnezzar, this pagan king of the country of Babylon, after that, this is what he said. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And he found out how God is able to humble the proud. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 5. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God cares about us more than we can even begin to understand. As Job said, man, God knows every layer of my being. Everything that there is about me. He made us. He gave us the breath of life. He sustains that life. And He cares about us. Even in the midst of trials. That He allows to come in our lives. There is a purpose for it. Our problem is trusting that He knows what He's doing. Because sometimes we get the idea that we are the first mistake God has ever made. But God never made a mistake. Never. Questions or comments on any of that? Look at verse 14, Job chapter 10 and verse 14. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. Now Job is saying, look, God, you know everything, and you know when I sin. He says, you mark me. Sin leaves a mark. Young people, there's temptations that are going to come in your life. There's things that you're just going to think, well, what difference does it make? I guarantee you, it leaves a mark. Be careful. You don't sin without paying some price for it. And that Job understands that. Yeah. Thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. Look at Philippians, Psalm 130. Let's go to that one first. Psalm 130 and verse 1. Or verse 3, excuse me. Psalm 130 and verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Job's not claiming to be sinless. He's just saying, Lord, I don't know what it is I've done. Of course, we know he did nothing. But that's the struggle, that's the conflict that he's facing here. So he's not claiming to be sinless. You know, think about the disciples. As the Lord gathered them together the night of his betrayal, they're eating that meal, and he said, somebody that dips this sop with me is going to betray me. What was the response of the disciples? Remember what they said? Is it I? Me? And the next one, could that be me? A Christian living in fellowship with God recognizes our sinfulness. That's Job. Look, God, I don't claim to be blameless. I just don't know what it is here. Somebody's going to betray me. Me? Are you talking about me, Lord? Am I going to do that? What happens is we get calloused. Our hearts get hard, cold, and we think somehow we're above sin. There can be no sin in our lives. Is it I? There's not a one of us here that's not tonight that's without sin, some sin in our life. Go to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Look at verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him. This is as Moses is hidden in the cleft of the rock, and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And this going along with the idea that sin can leave a mark in our lives. Look at verse 15 of chapter 34. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, they go whoring after their gods. Now, that's not right. Let's go on there. Go to chapter 15 or chapter 10 of Job and verse 15. Job 10:15. Job 10 and verse 15. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion, therefore see thou mine affliction. So carrying along in this same thought here, God, I just, where is it? What is it? What's wrong? But notice this is the last part of the verse says, I am full of confusion, therefore see thou mine affliction. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. Job says he's full of it. Confusion, that is. And verse 33 says this of 1 Corinthians 14. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So that confusion in Job's heart is not from God. When that confusion comes into our hearts, it's not from God. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. The peace of God that passeth all understandings to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And Job's problem is, he's been loosed from the moors that should be holding him. And again, you look at him and you say, man, who wouldn't be? Right, who wouldn't be? But still, it comes back to the fact that he has let loose of the things that should stay him, should keep him, and allow him to maintain that peace. The Apostle Paul, whipped, stoned, left for dead, beaten, shipwrecked. Did he ever suggest that he was lacking that peace that passes all understanding? Doesn't seem to. He and Silas, thrown in prison in Acts chapter 16, and at midnight, what did they do? They began to pray. And then the Lord loosed them. They didn't lose that which was to stay them. They lose touch with that which was to keep them. But Job has lost it, and too oftentimes we lose it. The truths that God has given us to help us through the difficult times in our lives that robs us of the peace of God and brings the confusion into our hearts and minds, which is not from God when we lose that thing. Job's circumstance doesn't seem to match his understanding of God. You see, we've just pointed out that idea that, he knows God. He knows some things about God, but he's saying, what's going on, Lord? I don't see any sin in my life that I haven't dealt with, that I haven't made the offerings for, that I haven't tried to make peace with you about. Why am I struggling like this? His circumstance doesn't match his understanding of God. And to complicate it, God is silent. He's begging, he's pleading, anything from God. Just speak to me, God. And God remains silent. And it only increases his confusion. Because it just doesn't seem, and that's the key, it doesn't seem to match his understanding of God. And again, how could he understand or know this thing, because he doesn't realize why God has allowed these things in his life? But, we've got so much. And yet for so little, we oftentimes end up in worse shape than Job is. He mistakes the silence of God for distance. But God is never distant from his children. He's always there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said that, Jesus Christ said that several times. I'm always with you. I'm never going to leave you. But yet, I wonder how many of us here tonight have at some point in our lives said, "Where are you, God? Why have you forsaken me?" He didn't. He may choose to remain silent for a time, but He's still there. He's still in control. He's still filtering everything that comes into your life through His hands. God never loses touch with us. He never becomes distant. Questions or comments thus far? Look at verse 16. He says, for it increases. Well, verse 15 again, just to kind of get the thought here. If I be wicked, woe unto me. If I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore see thou mine affliction, for it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion. And again, thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. So God, instead of getting relief, it's getting worse. He suffered the loss of everything in that first trial by Satan. His possessions, his children. Then he suffered the loss of his health. And then his three friends showed up. He said, man, it's getting worse, God. What's next? And notice what he said there. Thou huntest me. Where'd that go? Thou huntest me as a fierce lion. And again, thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me. That could be a charge against his three friends. Increasing the charges against him. And increases thine indignation upon me. Changes in war are against me. It only gets worse. Verse 18. Wherefore, then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb. Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then, and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. God, I just want to die. I'm tired. I'm hurt. Everybody's against me. Everything's against me. And it's only getting worse. God, just let me die. Before I go hence, I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. A land of darkness is darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. Where's Job's attention in all of this? Exactly. He's only thinking of himself. And while all this is taking place and he's struggling through all this thing, the thought occurred to me, somewhere, all alone by herself, is Mrs. Job. And she's suffering too. And there's nobody there to comfort her. But all he's thinking is of himself through this whole thing. God, what was your reason for even letting me live? Why was I even born? Why didn't you let me just die and be done with it? I thought about the movie that you're probably all familiar with, It's a Wonderful Life. And I can't help but think that the scriptures have some basis in that. I'm not saying that the guy was a Christian, but still the theme can be found in the scriptures. That life, all life, has a purpose. The fact that we're still here and drawing breath means that God still has a purpose for your life. And sometimes we just get so wrapped up in ourselves that we miss what God's doing. And maybe there's times that God's not going to show us what He's doing with us or through us till we get to heaven. Our brother Miller had kind of reference to that, the rewards we're going to have there. But there is no way to fully tell the impact that your life is having on other people. And that's, you know, that was the whole theme of that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. You go back and, well, if you hadn't have been here, this is what would have happened to your brother. He would have died. And then there would have been no hero pilot to save all these other lives during World War II. And on and on. And, you know, the pharmacist would have ended up killing that kid that you stepped in and pointed out to him that he'd given him the wrong medication. Just little things, little insignificant things that we, as we go through the course of our lives, don't take much note of. But from God's perspective, as He sees the whole thing and how it's all going to play out, the difference that one life can make, a Barnabas. To let God use you where you're at, how God wants to use you. Barnabas had no idea what the impact of his investment first in the life of the Apostle Paul would be, and then later in the life of his nephew John Mark. He was just doing what was before him to do at the moment. And sometimes there's some suffering that goes along in the process. But it's all about God getting glory out of my life, me fulfilling the purpose that God has for me on this earth, and letting Him get that glory out of my life. It is a wonderful life when God gets the glory for it. But we too oftentimes just look in. It's all about me. Well, I want this right now. And we give up something that could be had later on for that. Look at, let's see here. Verse 17 again, he says, "Thou renewest thy witnesses against me and increasest thine indignation upon me. Changes and war are against me." Verse 14, "If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity." I'm marked. There's war, indignation and war against me. Look at chapter 7 for a second, this idea of being marked. Chapter 7 and verse 19. He says, "How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself?" And then chapter 31 and verse 4. Chapter 31, verse 4 of Job. "Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps?" God marks everything about me. And then back in chapter 10 and verse 8, he says this, "Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me." And verse 3, "Is it good unto thee that thou shouldst oppress, that thou shouldst despise the work of thy hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked?" So in all of this complaint that he's making against God, And remember, it starts out of the bitterness of his soul that he's making the complaint. He's charging God with some pretty serious things here. That you're oppressing me. That you're destroying me. That you've marked me. That there's indignation. Your indignation and war is against me. "Despising the work of thy hands to shine upon the counsel of the wicked." Job's in pretty rough shape right now. Any questions or comments? I'm going to stop there for tonight. So let's bow for prayer.
Lord, help us, O God, to, even though we don't recognize it, realize that you will never leave us nor forsake us. God, help us that we might honor your name in our lives. God, help us to strive that you would be able to use us to touch somebody else, to have an impact upon their lives. God, encourage your people here tonight. If there's some struggles going on and needs here, meet those needs, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.